Evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Great People TV. But before I introduce our guests, you know my drill. Please follow our social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Today, we're talking about diplomatic communications and leadership, and we're very fortunate to have on Great People TV, His Excellency Charles Hay, the British High Commissioner to Malaysia. Your Excellency, welcome to Great People TV. Your Excellency, the passing of the Queen. What does that mean to Great Britain and the world?
Well, obviously, it's been a huge shock. The Queen was 96 when she died. So obviously, you know, we knew it was going to happen at some point, but it doesn't matter intellectually how much you prepare yourself. Nothing can prepare you for the emotional shock. And of course, for almost everybody alive today, the Queen has been the only monarch in the UK and in the Commonwealth. The Queen has been the only monarch we've ever known. My parents have some memories of King George VI, but you know, for everybody of my generation, the Queen has been an absolutely fixed point, and her passing is very disorientating as well as being very sad.
Now, your job as a High Commissioner, you touch on all these sensitivities all the time across all cultures, regardless of which country. Let's roll back the years a little bit. I mean, you got a university degree, Bachelor of Arts, Philosophy and Politics, from the University of Southampton, and you could have done anything. But out of all the jobs out there, why did you want to go into the diplomatic service and touch on all these sensitivities on a daily basis?
Well, of course, when we're young, we never quite know what life has in store. But I was pretty sure when I left university that I didn't want to go into a sort of traditional office job environment. So, in fact, I applied at the same time when I left university for the British Army and for the diplomatic service. Both of which offered, I guess, travel, excitement, getting to know the world. And I didn't get into the diplomatic service at that stage, but I did get into the army. So that was my, if you like, first career for the first 5 years. And then I reapplied for the diplomatic service on the basis of my, you know, newly acquired, I suppose, knowledge and wisdom, and managed to get in second time round.
Fantastic, because those tests are really, really difficult. I've had a lot of friends across all countries who have not got through those tests and assessments the first round, but they got through it the second round. But as they say, like you said, things happen for a reason, and you served in the army. Tell us about that experience, should I say, defending your country.
Well, it was a very different time. When I joined the army, it was 1987. And of course, then it was still the time of the Cold War. So for my first couple of years in the army, we were preparing ourselves for, you know, the Third World War in Europe. That's why it's been rather disorientating for me watching the footage of the war in Ukraine, to see all those Russian armored vehicles that I'd spent time learning about rolling into action there, something which none of us would have expected a few years ago. And then, of course, in 1989, the wall came down and it felt like we were moving towards a much more positive place. I was in Berlin shortly afterwards, and that was still a divided city after the Second World War. And for the first time, we were encouraged to make friends with our Russian counterparts. Again, that was a very new thing and a real sense that the world was changing for the better. And it was in the wake of that that I joined the diplomatic service. So, you know, I guess it was some sort of transition there.
Fantastic stories. And thanks for sharing your career background with us, because a lot of our viewers who do watch this, their children or their young siblings, shall I say, want to get into the diplomatic service. So let's talk about your diplomatic experience here in Malaysia. Two parts to the question, really. Your experience and your key wins, making hay.
Well, it's been a wonderful experience. It's not quite the experience that I expected, really, for two reasons. One is that when I got the job, this is before GE14, and people said to me, oh, Malaysia, it's such a fantastic place. It's a wonderful country. The food is brilliant. But politically, nothing ever happens. It's always the same guys in office. And then, of course, the general election came on and everything changed. And now we've had three prime ministers during the time that I've been here. Nobody predicted that. I have served in Asia before. My last posting was in Korea, of course, a very different part of Asia. This is my first time in Southeast Asia, apart from a short time when I was a boy living in Laos. It's my first time in a developing country, my first time in a Commonwealth country. So there's lots of new areas of work that I've had to come to grips with. But it's been It's been a fantastic challenge. And then, of course, COVID, again, something nobody expected. And that has been a real challenge for us as diplomats, because most of our stock in trade is being out and about. We go to functions, yes. We meet people, and then, of course, all that stopped. So we had to find ways of doing that online. And we've all had to learn new skills. And we've had to become more resilient and become different leaders and project ourselves in different ways. So it's been a fantastic learning experience.
And the key wins that you've achieved here that you're quite proud of, and what more do you want to achieve in your time here? Because a High Commissioner's time in any country is usually quite short.
It is. So my time here has coincided with the UK leaving the European Union. And that has meant that the UK has had to reorientate itself more towards, if you like, the rest of the world. And one of the key aims that people who wanted to leave the European Union had was rebuilding, enhancing our links with countries like Malaysia. So during my time here, the UK has achieved dialogue partner status with ASEAN, and I'm very pleased with the way that we here in Kuala Lumpur work with the Malaysian government to achieve that. Again, in tune with that general idea of us enhancing our relationships post-Brexit, we've developed a trade committee with the Malaysian authorities. We're looking at ways we can boost trade and investment between our two countries even more. We've launched a strategic dialogue so that we can talk about global issues in a much more informal and regular way. The five-power defense arrangement has celebrated its 50th anniversary, and enhancing and strengthening that, again, is an important part of our relationship with Malaysia. So I think I can look back on quite a number of ways that I've helped to support a strengthening of our bilateral relationship.
And that's also a good formation of a good bucket list for any diplomat to achieve in a country like Malaysia, because, you know, it's a fantastic. We're very proud of our country, and we're very proud that you're very much part of it. So just basically the last question, you've told us some great things about your career, about the unfortunate passing of the Queen, but it's a new day in the United Kingdom. In God we trust, in Liz we trust. Tell us about the new Prime Minister and what it means to not just the world, but to Malaysia, and how Malaysia will play a part in that world that we're trying to change for the better every day.
So what we've seen is a transition to a new prime minister, and we in the UK, I mean, it's very similar in a way to Malaysia, isn't it? That we've had three prime ministers over the same period that you and Malaysia have had three prime ministers.
We Malaysians win that one. Yeah.
So maybe something else we have in common. Liz Truss, of course, very experienced politician, most recently foreign secretary. She was here in Malaysia back in November. So it's a great thing that she, as foreign secretary, knows all about our international engagements. And in fact, she knows this region very well, because apart from her visits to Malaysia and other countries in the region, she lived in Brunei for a while. She worked for Shell for a period of time. So, you know, it's a very challenging time, I think, for all of us. We've got obviously the war in Ukraine, which is still ongoing. We have the cost of living crisis, the energy crisis. It's a really challenging moment for anybody to take over. And in the UK, of course, with the passing of the Queen, that is a time for, I guess, national re-examination. We have our king, our new king. And so this is a huge change, which, as I mentioned at the beginning, none of us have ever experienced before. And somebody asked me the other day about some of the accession activities, and said, well, what do you normally do? And I said, well, nobody really knows, because we haven't done it for 70 years. So we're going through a change and a transition that is very new to all of us. But I'm confident that we will come out of it stronger and as engaged, or more engaged, with Malaysia and this region than ever before.
Well, we wish you all the very best in that endeavor, because as they say, Your Excellency, it's very, very hard to please everyone. So we will finish this discussion on a very cheerful note, away from the diplomatic relations or the bilateral relations. We'll just finish it with a bit of a quote, a bit of a phrase. Now, every British diplomat that I've met, had the pleasure of meeting over the years, always loved rugby. So, Your Excellency, I'm going to read you two statements, and you just tell me the thoughts that come to your mind when I read these two statements. The first statement is rugby, rowing, and repeat. Okay. The second statement is a Malaysian one. Ramadan, durian, and everything sweet. Because that sums up my
Yes. Well, rugby, yes, absolutely. I'm a big rugby fan. I'm Scottish, so of course, follow our team. Durian, I like. A lot of people seem very surprised at that. But no, I love durian. And I was lucky enough to be invited with my family to a durian farm. And we did a durian tasting. And my kids love durian as well. But we're not so keen on Musang King. We prefer teka, which is a bit less sweet. And maybe that's a reflection of a less sweet tooth, because it's the only thing that I would change about Malaysia, which is that people should stop serving coffee and tea with sugar already in it. Because some of us don't take sugar in our coffee.
Well, Charles or Your Excellency, I think that's a very, very difficult task, because the day that Malaysia achieves that, I think the reduction of fish and chips will go down in the United Kingdom. So I think we should use the food barometer, tete tare and fish and chips. Let's see how the economic indicators. But on that note, Your Excellency, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to get to know about you, your career, the challenges that the United Kingdom are going through at the moment, but you all seem to be in a very, very good place, and your heart is also there and also in Malaysia. And based on that, I am very, very optimistic that the future looks good. Your Excellency, thank you so much for being with us here on Great People TV.
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity.
That's what I love about our guests. Intelligent, short, sweet, and to the point. Thank you everyone for watching another episode of Great People TV. Please don't forget to support our social media platforms. But until next week and the next episode of Great People TV, take care and stay safe.